Here's his 44th pitch. Slider swing and a miss. It gets away from Pierzynski. Steps on the plate for the force out. And the game is over as Chicago wins it 4-3. A heads-up play by Pierzynski. All he had to do was get the force out at the plate, and he got it, rather than risk a throw down to first.
Adam Lind strikes out at the end of a tremendous at-bat against Sergio Santos with the bases loaded and two out in the top of the ninth inning. The Jays already having scored two to pull the within one. That's the play of the game, brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go at RogersOnDemand.com. This was a fun finish. The Blue Jays, who really didn't have anything going over the course of the first eight innings, they managed just three hits, same as yesterday in their series-ending loss to Tampa. They got something going in the ninth and got something going big against Sergio Santos, but could not seal the deal. David Cooper comes off the bench and rips a two-run double with two out off the wall on a 3-2 pitch to bring the Jays back within one. Then Eric Thames walks. Then Jose Bautista works the count to 5-0 before finally taking ball six and being allowed to go to first base. And then Santos comes back with that strikeout of Adam Lind. The ball just getting away from A.J. Pierzynski, but not far enough as he was able to beat Chris Woodward to the plate and step on it to end the ball game. 4-3, the White Sox beat the Blue Jays, and the Jays are down to two games left in the season. They're 80-80. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. After the game, Ozzie Guillen was released from his contract at his request as the Chicago White Sox manager. There were rumors that he'd been traded to the Marlins. That hasn't happened, but it certainly seems apparent that Ozzie will be managing the Florida Marlins next year. The White Sox have retained the right to compensation because Guillen's contract runs through next year, so some sort of trade is going to have to be made in order to get Ozzie to Florida. Not sure who's going to run the show for the White Sox the last two games of the season. But Chicago has a shot at 80 wins. The Blue Jays right now are at 80 wins. And there's some very, very interesting fun stuff going on in the wild card races. The Red Sox lost 6-2 to the Orioles today, while the Yankees fell 5-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. That means the Red Sox and Rays are tied for first in the wild card chase. They're 2.5 games ahead of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Angels need to win tonight to maintain a pulse. They are losing 3-0 to the Texas Rangers as they play in the bottom of the fourth inning. Adrian Beltre, the former Red Sox, has his 31st home run of the year. It is a two-run shot. Over in the National League, the Phillies, who've just been terrible for the last 2 weeks, beat the Atlanta Braves 4-2. Cliff Lee finishes the season 17-8. That means that the St. Louis Cardinals are only one game behind, now only a half game behind the Atlanta Braves for that National League wild card. And the Cardinals and the Astros are tied 4-4 in the top of the 10th inning in Houston. Yadier Molina just thought that he homered, but it hit high off the wall, and he was lucky to make it into second with a leadoff double in the 10th inning. So the Cardinals are in position to maybe go ahead. If they win this game, they're tied for the wild card. All kinds of excitement, and we can only hope that in the near future, the Blue Jays will be a part of this playoff race excitement going down the last couple of days in the season. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will extendo the Jays Talk all the way to midnight Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. So if you're elsewhere, stick with us. Listen on the website. Give us a call, and you can listen while you're on hold. Ozzie Guillen, by the way, just telling ESPN's Baseball Tonight that there is no deal with Florida. Doesn't mean it's true, but that's what he said. Dave and Barry will lead the Jays Talk off with you. Hello, Dave.
Mike, it's definitely been an exciting day in baseball, that's for sure. So good to start things off that way.
It's not over yet.
Not over yet by a long shot, but exciting couple days left here in the AL and in the NL, which is a nice thing.
Absolutely. And I just mean today's not over yet. We still don't know what's happening in the St. Louis game. Yadier Molina just got picked off trying to go to third base. So no more go-ahead run in scoring position.
Well, that big a boy shouldn't be going for third and tenth. But
he's not that. No, he's not big at all.
He's not that small.
He's the Molina brother who's in shape. Let's say that.
That's true. That is very true. Two quick things here for you, Mike. The first, I want to get your thoughts on this. As far as what they're looking like in the collective bargaining agreement, it looks like it's all but a foregone conclusion that they're going to add that one wild card team to each side. With, I believe, as I understand it, would be a one-game playoff between the wild card teams of each division to see who goes on to all the division winners, correct?
That's what the speculation is. If I can correct your wording, there would be an additional wild card added to each league, and yes, there would be a one-game playoff between the two wild card teams in each league, with the winner of that one game advancing into what are now the regular playoffs.
The division series.
Yes.
So are your thoughts that this is a good thing? Because obviously it's a good thing because it obviously adds to the chances of the Jays making the postseason. But isn't 162 games in the year for one playoff game a little unfair? Like, can't you make...
It's a lot unfair.
What about a best of three?
Well, but see, there's a problem with that. A best of three is just as unfair as a one-game playoff. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
The thing is, as long as you're doing this division thing, then there should be some sort of reward for winning your division. And the reward for winning your division is that the team that gets in without having won its division can get knocked out in one game. And, you know, will have to use one of its top pitchers, one would think, in that one-game playoff, instead of saving him for the first round. I don't think it is fair. I had, you know, this. It's close to my idea of the wild card weekend, which would be having four teams, non-division winners, go at it in a one-game elimination all the way through, which I think would be an amazing 3 days of baseball. But this isn't a terrible compromise.
Well, it's better than what it is now, right? It's something where we're
on the
outside looking in. It is
marginally better than it is now, yes.
Now, on to my second part.
But that's
here,
probably not going to happen next year.
Is it the year after?
We're probably still at least a year away from that, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Hopefully we have a surprising year, as one would say. A lot of pieces have to fall in place, and that's where my next question goes. We were speaking about this last week, you and I, as far as Anthopoulos publicly saying he's not going to really go the free agent route. But if you're going after a possibility of looking at Yu Darvish and spending an upwards of $100 million for bidding contracts, why would you not allocate those funds towards a Prince Fielder who's an automatic, immediate impact player?
Well, you think that Yu Darvish is an automatic, immediate impact player, obviously, if you're throwing that kind of money at him.
But as you've said in the past, and I tend to lean towards your side of thought, you know, I'm not too wary on Blue Jays pitching. We have a lot of depth. We have a lot of what-ifs and possibilities. But don't you think a Prince Fielder is pretty much a lockup instead of a hoping of an assumption of a Yu Darvish being a star here?
Well, the thing is, and I agree with you to an extent, but I haven't scouted Darvish. I saw him pitch in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago, and that's it, you know, a couple innings. Obviously, the Blue Jays have gotten many, many looks at him and many good looks at him, and if they believe that, you know, he's worth throwing this amount of money at, then you got to trust them, one. And as far as the fielder thing is, the difference between Darvish, if he's what they believe he is, and the next best guy you can find at that level of pitching dominance is probably a lot greater than the difference between Prince Fielder and the next best slugging first baseman that you can find.
So put yourself in Anthopoulos' shoes, and I know so many people have done this to you. But what do you do for your ball if you're given, let's say, $80 to $90 million to say, we're competing this year, we have the best hitter in baseball, we have a pitching rotation that has a lot of promise, and here's $80 or $90 million. Where do you allocate those funds, Mike?
Not in free agency. I mean, honestly, and I've said this before many times, I don't think Prince Fielder's coming here, whether the Blue Jays make a big push for him or not. And a lot of people seem to think all it takes is throw a big whack of money at him and he's coming here. It's not an auction. He has a choice. And I don't think Prince Fielder would come to Toronto, given the other suitors and the similar contracts that he's going to have. So, you know, it's not that simple as just throwing money at the blanks and filling in the blanks.
That's true. But don't you think that some people in the major leagues want to play with Jose Bautista and be a compliment to a cleanup behind him?
Who else besides Fielder and Pujols would you even be remotely interested in bringing in free agency? There's nobody out there. And having money doesn't mean you can use it. You know, I don't mind the Blue Jays trying to put a package together for Joey Votto if the Cincinnati Reds make him available. He's not on the free agent market, but he costs a lot of money, and he may be made available by the Reds. I would go after that huge if I were the Blue Jays. But just to go wandering around with your $90 million and making sure you spend it all, it's not going to work out because there's nobody out there beyond those big two guys. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to extend the Jays talk. If you're not on hold, get on hold. We have some lines open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Houston Astros have runners on the corners and nobody out in the bottom of the 10th inning in a 4-4 tie with St. Louis, and Octavio Dotel is on the mound. Jays lose it to the White Sox 4-3. It is Jays Talk on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Baseball Control in Toronto, the Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Chicago White Sox. We do not have a tie in each wild card race. Angel Sanchez with the safety squeeze. He beats it out. Octavio Dotel tries the glove flip throw home to nail Brian Bogusevic, but he whiffs. And the Houston Astros beat the St. Louis Cardinals 5-4. So the worst team in Major League Baseball beats the team that needs the win to move into a tie for the wild card. Atlanta continues to lead St. Louis by 1. The Braves lost to the Phillies 4-2. The Blue Jays lost 4-3 to the Chicago White Sox despite mounting a ferocious comeback in the top of the 9th inning. Elsewhere in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Yankees 5-2. James Shields, 8 2/3 strong. He's 16-12. While the Orioles took care of the Red Sox 6-3. Robert Andino's three-run inside the park home run was the difference. Popped out of Jacoby Ellsbury's glove as he hit the wall trying to make the catch. Get this, Red Sox fans. The Boston Red Sox have as many wins in September in games that John Lackey starts as they have in games started by John Lester and Josh Beckett combined. That's just sad. This is the worst month the Red Sox have had, I believe, since April of 1966. Just horrifying, but they're still tied for the wild card with the Tampa Bay Rays. Oh, and Matt Latos is pitching a no-hitter right now for the San Diego Padres. They're in the top of the 6th inning, 0-0 with the Cubs. Series continues tomorrow with the penultimate game of the season. We are on at 7:30 Eastern time for an 8:10 first pitch. Henderson Alvarez against Mark Burley. Those of you listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, or fan590.com, will get a pre-game show at 7 o'clock Eastern featuring interviews with the Blue Jays, MVP and Pitcher of the Year, as selected by the club. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and the Blue Jays Radio Network. go vote for Tom Cheek.
Your team on your station. Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet Radio. The Fan 590.
Check of the runners. 1-2 pitch slider. It's a deep left field. Back for it, Eric Thames. He's looking up. That ball is gone. 3-0 Chicago.
That was a big blow. That was the only mistake that Dustin McGowan made, and it really wasn't a bad pitch. It was a slider, but it wasn't a hanger. And Tyler Flowers took him way out of the yard. His fourth home run of the season. The rookie catcher playing first base tonight. And that hands Dustin McGowan the loss, as the Jays would not score until the eighth inning. And in that inning, they scored without a hit. Mike McCoy walked, stole second, then stole third with Jose Bautista following on the back half. And Adam Lind grounded out to cash a run. That was it for the Jays until the ninth, when against White Sox closer Sergio Santos, J.P. Arencibia worked a walk. And Mark Tian got his second hit of the game. How about that? Tian 2-for-3 with a walk tonight. Against Sox closer Sergio Santos, and then Santos struck out Colby Rasmus and Adam Loewen. But David Cooper came off the bench and took a 3-2 pitch off the base of the wall in left field. He missed a home run by a couple of feet. Would have tied the game. Instead, he settles for a two-run double. Santos then walks Eric Thames, walks Jose Bautista. And with the bases loaded, Adam Lind gives him a heck of an at-bat, but finally winds up striking out. Ball gets away from A.J. Pierzynski, but Pierzynski manages to catch up with it and tag the plate ahead of the charging Chris Woodward just before Woody managed to slide in with what may have been the tying run. 4-3 the final. The Blue Jays are 80-80 on the season with two games to go. No more no-hitter for Matt Latos, by the way. As soon as I mention it, he gives up a triple in a nothing-nothing game. Well, such is life. We are doing the Extendo Jays Talk all the way to midnight. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And also on the Twitter at Wilderness590. And on the Twitter at BatemanR says, what is McGowan's contract status after this year? He's still under the Blue Jays' control for one more season, and he would be a free agent after 2012. And one would hope, with the patience and the faith that the Blue Jays have shown in him, he would be inclined to stick around if he's healthy. Back to the phones to Jake in Wasega Beach. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. I'm so fascinated by this chase with Tampa Bay. I mean, my God. I hope they win it by one game for a few reasons. One being, I'd like to hear you eat some crow. But kidding aside, when I heard today...
Just for the sake of the eating crow thing,
yeah.
This would be, by the way, the worst collapse in the history of baseball.
Right.
A. And two, if the Rays had been above 500 this month, they'd have clinched this thing a week ago. So this is not a compliment to the Tampa Bay Rays if they get into the playoffs. This is almost all Boston.
Well, Tampa Bay still have to win. They still have to win over 90 games, so you got to give them some credit here. But anyway,
they may only have to win 90.
Here's why I called.
Yeah.
This wild card idea of adding one game or one extra team and the two wild cards playing is stupid, and I don't think the people have thought it out. Look what would happen this year. Suppose Tampa caught them, and even St. Louis catches Atlanta.
Yep.
All right? And Tampa, the last day, they're tied. Boston loses, Tampa wins. All right?
Then they would have to play
it
again.
It means nothing.
Yeah, they'd have to play the next day.
Then
you're right.
They got to play a game. Yep. Talk about anticlimactic.
But that's just like because
Boston,
of... But that's,
suppose Boston won the last game. It would seem like they shouldn't even be in.
But that can happen in any scenario. It can happen no matter how many teams you let in and no matter where you let them in, no matter where the races are. Let's say that
even
the Angels,
Atlanta,
win tonight.
Right?
Let's say the Angels win tonight and they're two back and they wind up one back at the end of the season. and they win, they would have had to do the same thing again, right? It can go on down the line.
I know, but it's just, I don't think anybody's thought this out. Look, if Tampa Bay wins the last game, they're going to be going crazy. But no, it doesn't mean anything. In fact, if Tampa wins the next two games and Boston loses the next two games, it still doesn't mean anything.
Right. And what if the Yankees were out of the picture? Let's say the Yankees...
But they're not out of the picture.
No. But for the sake of argument, let's say the Yankees had 80 wins.
Right.
Right? And here are the Rays and the Red Sox, a game apart from each other for first place in the AL East. But whichever one of them doesn't win, just like, say, last year with the Rays and Yankees when they finished a game apart, whichever one doesn't win the division is in the playoffs anyway. The exact same thing happened just last year. It didn't matter.
Fair enough, Mike, but you look, every year, either Boston or Yankees going to be on top and one of the other ones going to be second.
That's the way it's happened for the last 15 years.
But this will be one of the most anticlimactic seasons if they had a wild card this year. It's
okay,
just crazy.
This year.
Well,
last year was one of the most anticlimactic seasons ever because they don't have the extra wild card.
When? Right now? This year?
Last year.
Okay.
Last year, because the Yankees...
What will happen, though, is that it will get rid of the big chase. The big chase will mean nothing.
It'll be a different big chase.
No, it won't.
Sure will.
The last two games will mean nothing here this year.
But that's this year.
Well,
next year, there might be another team in there somewhere. Or next year, there might be, the team that has the wild card now might have a 6-game lead in the last few games will mean nothing anyway.
I don't know. I think they better come up with a better idea because you can't have a chase and it mean nothing at the end, Mike,
hey,
after
Jake,
162
Jake,
games.
You haven't thought this through. Thank you for the call. As much as you think they haven't thought this through, you don't seem to understand that a lot of times the wild card is clinched well before the last three games of the season. And a lot of times, there are two teams chasing a wild card. Bringing up the example of this year, you're right. This year would be terribly anticlimactic because today, the Angels with a loss would be eliminated from wild card consideration, and we would know that both Boston and Tampa were getting in. Yesterday, the Giants would have been eliminated from wild card consideration in the National League, and we would know going into the last 3 days that both the Braves and Cardinals are getting in. That's this year. A lot of years, it's clinched way earlier. A lot of years, it's clinched even later. Donald is in Toronto. Hello, Donald.
Hi, Mike. I'm really disappointed in the second half performance of Adam Lynn, swinging late on the fastball time and time again, and really fooled on the high, hard one out of the strike zone. After closely observing David Cooper, I sincerely believe he will be a better hitter than Adam Lynn. The Jays could trade Lynn for a top-winning pitcher.
No, they couldn't.
They couldn't, using that old cliche, but true. You can never have enough good pitching. Over this coming winter and spring, Cooper could brush up on his defensive side. Also, what gives with Colby Rasmus? Antopoulos was very high on him. I'm sorry, I don't see much of an upside on Rasmus. I'll hang up now.
Don't hang up. I don't want you to hang up because I want to have a conversation with you.
All right.
If you see all these flaws in Adam Lind, what makes you think the Blue Jays could get a top flight pitcher for him in trade?
Well, power. He does have power. He does have some positives. But the negatives I've explained outweigh the positives.
Right. So why would a team give you something good for him?
Well, maybe they might not know what I know.
Don't bet on that.
Okay.
And as far as, it's interesting that you would like David Cooper over Colby Rasmus. I mean, Cooper's hitting 197 and Rasmus is hitting 230. So, you know, they seem to be off to kind of similar unfortunate seasons, though it was a very nice job by David Cooper tonight. Colby Rasmus, a lot of people around the Blue Jays fandom seem to believe that he appeared magically out of nowhere when the Blue Jays traded for him in the middle of July.
He was highly touted, though.
He had a very successful year for the St. Louis Cardinals last season. He was very good in the major leagues at 23. This guy is not anything like Blue Jay fans who have written him off already believe he can be. At 23 years old, he hit .276. With 23 home runs, .859 OPS, playing every day for the St. Louis Cardinals last year. This year, you know what? I can understand that there's been some upheaval in his life with the trade, that he really got hammered by Tony La Russa while he was in San Diego. Pardon me, in St. Louis. And I don't think it's unfair to look at this year as a lost season for Colby Rasmus. But one hopes that, given the winter off, given some time to get away from things, he'll come back next year and he'll be the guy that everyone expects him to be. This is not just some guy that Alex Anthopoulos likes because Alex Anthopoulos happens to like him. I believe Colby Rasmus is probably the best center fielder in baseball, 25 or younger. And I think we'll see that for the next few years. And we must get to it. More Extendo Jays talk on the other side at Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Again, Drabek to the plate, pitches line to right field, going back low, and it's over his head. One hop up against the wall. That'll play to run as scoring is Ramirez into second with a slide is Viciedo, and it's a 4-0 Chicago lead on the RBI double by the White Sox right fielder.
And that was pretty huge, as it turned out. Didn't seem like it at the time. Made it 4-0 Chicago in the bottom of the seventh, but the Jays got one in the eighth, two in the ninth, and lose 4-3. And interestingly enough, that double came a pitch after Kyle Drabek had struck that guy out. Went way around on the swing, but did not get the call. So had to throw another one, and Dion Viciedo did that to it. Made it 4-0. 4-3 the final. The Blue Jays have two games to go this season. They are 80-80. Henderson Alvarez and Brandon Morrow are going to start them. Two of the guys with some of the best stuff in all of Major League Baseball. Back to the phones we go, the Extendo Jays talk. Take it to Raceline Radio at noon, midnight, whatever. Midnight Eastern. And then Jeff Samut will be on from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. with nothing but gold, as is always the case. Chris is in Ottawa. Hello, Chris.
What an exciting finish to that ball game.
That was an exciting finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised nobody's talked about it yet, but I was kind of tough to see it end that way. I guess the last caller kind of stole my thunder. I want to talk about Colby Rasmus.
Sure.
And I agree with you. But I for now, and I know you don't answer for other guys, but like, I've heard Alan Ashby a couple times say that he has some question marks about him.
Everybody has question marks about him.
Well, no, but he sounded like tonight on the broadcast, he said it, but he sounded really like concerned. Like I've heard him say the same thing about a couple other guys. But have you like talked to him or heard what his thoughts are on exactly what he thinks the flaw is in Rasmus's game?
With Ashby?
Yeah.
No, we haven't. I don't think he thinks that he's a terribly flawed player or anything like that.
Ask him tomorrow on the pregame show, because I've heard him bring it up a couple times.
Will do, if I remember.
The other thing I want to talk about is Adam Lind and David Cooper, and if Joey Votto was available. Like I think what would be the cost to acquire? Because obviously you're going to have to give.
Can't answer that question. And we can't even start answering that question because it's folly. We have no idea. That's the answer. The answer is I have no idea. You have no idea. Alex Anthopoulos probably has no idea what it's going to cost to get Joey Votto.
But can we not agree that first base they want to be in contention soon? That's something they definitely have to upgrade because. I don't think.
Well, but they can upgrade to the 2009 version of Adam Lind. That would be fine.
Do you really think he'll get? I don't think he'll get back to that. I don't think he'll hit 35 home runs and drive in close to 100 runs again.
You know that if you extend his stats this year to a full season, they're like 35 homers and 120 RBI.
Yeah, but in 2009, he got on base. What was it, on base? Yeah, like, he got close on base to 370, a lot. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. If you're going to be in the number four slot in the lineup, like you can't be struggling to stay at 300 with your your on base percentage. And I really don't just, you know, we haven't really seen a lot of David Cooper, but I just, I don't think he's like an AL East first baseman. I don't think he, like, I think he's a major leaguer, but I don't think he's the answer to, and I, you hear people call you every night and say they want to see more of him, but that's just because when you get sick of one guy, you just want to see the next.
That's right.
And
no, that's absolutely right. I agree with you. I don't think that David Cooper is going to be, well, I know David Cooper is not going to be the answer over Adam Lind. I'm not with you in thinking that Adam Lind won't be able to get back to what he was. He's got a terrific swing. He went out of his approach this year, and I don't know why, but he continues to at least hit for power. I think it's fixable. And I don't know if Adam Lind will be back next year or not. I don't know if he'll get moved in the offseason, but I don't think that you're going to get enough back if you move him now. But you're right. You cannot have a middle-of-the-order bat that struggles to keep his on-base percentage around 300. But I don't think Adam Lind is that guy. This year, he's been that guy. Jeff in Jersey. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, hi, Mike. This is the first time I've been able to get through to you.
All right, well done.
I've been listening to your show and some of the other shows, like the old radio network that you have on here, and I picked up a Toronto game one night out of the clear blue from my radio here.
Nice.
In Jersey. Wow, I got Toronto.
What station are you pulling us in on?
It was just fantastic. It's another perspective on sports. Other than New York metropolitan area, you know.
Yep.
And I enjoy listening to your show. Your callers are pretty interesting. And I just wanted to just let you know that other people besides the Canadian networks can actually pick up another station with a better perspective on sports. I enjoy your show. I think it's fantastic. And I try and listen to it every night. It gives me a little something to do here in my senior years.
I appreciate that very much.
And I just wondered, I just asked one of the gentlemen, what other sports do you plan on trying to pick up besides with the Blue Jay games?
The radio station? Like, what kind of play-by-play are we planning to do?
You know, like Canadian football or maybe, you know, some of the hockey teams.
No, you never know as far as the hockey teams are concerned. You never know. That's going to be up for grabs soon enough. But we have the Blue Jays and we have the Raptors and we have Major League Soccer.
You have the Raptors?
There's no Raptors right now. But, yes, we do have the Raptors. And we are thrilled to have them once the NBA gets back going.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't have any questions other than that. But I just wanted to let you know that I've been talking it up down at my local Knights Columbus here in New Jersey. And some of the guys have been picking up the stations, believe it or not.
I love it.
And I love it, too, because I like your perspective and your throw up on sports. You know, like you put it out there in a nice way, instead of being confident, like some of these guys do on SAN here and some of the other sports stations. And,
well, thank you very much, Jeff. The majority of my listeners would disagree with you on that.
If I have anything pertinent to add, I will definitely put in another call. But you got a fan here in New Jersey. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you very much for the call, and continue listening out there in Jersey. And see, Jays Talk callers in New York, they think I'm nice. How about that? Marty's in Aurora. Hello, Marty.
Hey there, Mike. Just a couple of comments, if I may, with regards to the last, not the last caller, but a couple of callers ago. Who
Be my guest.
That Alan Ashby did not seem like he was, that there was a problem with Rasmus.
Yeah, I don't quite know where
he
got that from.
Does Alan Ashby have a... You know, does he have the ability to decide, you know?
Well, Alan Ashby played 17 years in the major leagues. I would think
but that doesn't make
probably
him,
a few steps ahead of the rest of us.
That's an expert in talent or a GM.
No, but again, it puts him a few steps ahead of the rest of us.
Oh, well,
but
yeah,
I don't even remember Alan saying anything.
I never
so
heard him
we're
going
to have to look into
that. Anything.
Yeah.
I never heard him say anything. And I mean, Rasmus looks like he's got all the tools, and I'd like to see him get off to, you know, just a nice fresh start with a new team and see how he does. But that's not what I called about.
Okay.
The point I wanted to make was I do believe it's time now for the Jays to not just make an effort, but to get somebody.
Who?
Just for the fans, whether it's Votto, whether they want to make a play at I think you said that there may be a chance of getting the St. Louis, what's his name, the slugger there?
Albert Pujols?
Pujols. The Prince, I don't think is going to happen. But, I mean, I just think that the organization now does owe it to the fans to absolutely do whatever is possible to get a big name in here. They used to do it in the past. I mean,
they didn't used to do it in the past. They did it in the past when they were that one player away from winning a championship.
But they brought in, I mean, they have Jack Morris, they brought in Dave Stewart, brought in Paul Molitor.
Uh-huh. And Dave Winfield.
They brought in a lot of big names.
Right. When they were
Roger,
when they needed Clemens. Well, Roger Clemens didn't do them any good. But when they needed a DH and a frontline starting pitcher, and that was all they needed, they brought in Jack Morris and Dave Winfield. Then they replaced him with Dave Stewart and Paul Molitor. They need a lot more than that.
I just feel it's time, money aside, I mean, I don't know how much money these teams have to spend or don't have to spend. I never really looked at baseball that way.
Okay.
But I just feel that it's time that where they do, just owe it to the fans to give them a shot at something to see this happen.
That's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing for the last 18 months.
I hope so. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see them go after a big name, stir the pot because
it's not the right way to do it. If you do something just to stir the pot or just to show the fans that you're serious or something like that, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. The only reason you should be making a move is because it makes your team better and it helps get you where you want to go. You can't move the timetable up, no matter how antsy the fans get.
But the last few shows that I've been listening to you, and I always listen to your show.
Thank you.
It seemed like the fans, a lot of the calls were really, a lot of people said that they're giving up their season's tickets and things like that.
I have not heard anyone say that.
Oh, yes. I definitely heard a few of them say it on your show that they,
nope, not on my show.
Pardon?
Not on my show. I haven't heard a single person say they're giving up
their
season's tickets.
Well, definitely on the fan, because it's the only station I listen to.
All right, cool.
But
other people's shows don't count, only mine.
I love it. I liked your show the best. Anyhow, that's my thought.
Thank you.
And I'll be continuing to listen.
All right, I appreciate it. There's an old saying in the sports business. If you think like the fan, you will be sitting with the fans. And that's because you can't. Fans want now. Fans want a champion yesterday. And I understand that. And you should. But that's not the way things work. And all you have to do is look at your Toronto Maple Leafs to see what moving the timetable up does. Pressing to win immediately when you're not ready yet. Then you get 7 straight years without the playoffs in a league where more than half the teams make the playoffs. And if more than half the teams made the playoffs in baseball, the Jays would have been in the playoffs 13 out of the last 15 years, I think. John is in Brampton. Hello, John.
Hi, Jeff. It's the first time I was able to get a hold of you. I've talked to Mike before, but...
I'm Mike. What other Mike? Huh? Who?
The reason I called...
Yeah?
...is that I like the Blue Jays starting pitchers. I mean, this year it hasn't been... they've had their ups and downs, but
yep.
they've got Ricky Romero, they've got Morrow, Alvarez.
Yep.
I think McGowan's on his way back.
Seems
he's looking
like.
Good.
Yep.
They got Brett Cecil. They got...
Drabeck?
Yeah, Drabeck, yeah. And as far as I'm concerned about their infield, I mean, with Hill on first base, Johnson on
Lind,
second base.
Lind is on first base.
Escobar and Laurie.
Uh-huh.
And on the outfield, you've got Thames, you've got Rasmus, you've got Baptista. As far as Cooper goes to first base, okay, he can play first base, but bring him back next year as learning procedure. And I think if they're going to spend any money, they should maybe try to get a starting pitcher. But other than that, I would say stay the way they are, because this year, I know they're only 80-80, but and there's 2 games to go. They're not going to win as many as they did last year.
Right.
But this year has been an exciting year.
Sure has.
It's been, I've been a Jays fan since they came into existence in 77.
Okay.
And even when they
Me
won
too.
The World Series, I wasn't as excited as I am right now.
Yes, you were.
With these
Blues. Yes, you were. And you were far more excited than you are right now. But I get where you're coming from. This is a very exciting, very talented young team. And the operative word being young. But no, it's not more exciting than it was in 1992 and 93. Or 1985 or 87 or 89 or 90. Maybe 86 and 88, but probably not. Guy in Toronto. Hello, Guy.
Mike.
Guy.
I got to tell you, these listening to the callers today, I disagree with a lot of them. I mean, if you want a great team, you got to have great players. Adam Lind, at the very best, is a good player. Average, I think. I get your point where, you know, we can't, you know, change and go after every free agent out there. That's why I think Joey Votto is a perfect fit on this team.
He's Joey Votto, it should be said, though, is a perfect fit on any team.
Well,
no?
I mean, price-wise, I think he...
Regardless, yeah, a perfect fit on any team.
True enough.
Okay.
You know, saying that, you know, the Lynn Snyder, there are pieces that we can trade, you know, to maybe go after a guy like this, and I think that's...
You cannot get Joey Votto for Lyndon Snyder.
Well, no, let me finish. Okay. I don't think they're going to trade Lyndon Snyder straight up for Votto. That would take a lot more, obviously.
One would think.
But, you know, that's the route I think Anthopoulos is going to go. Instead of spending $30 million on, like what you said, you're going to get one guy when we have about six or seven holes that we need to fill.
I agree with you. I think he is going to be aggressive in the trade market this season and see what comes up. Nothing may happen, but I think he's going to be very aggressive.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because when you watch all these games and you see our cleanup hitter coming to the plate with the bases loaded and two out and... You know, nine times out of ten, you know, you feel like he's not going to get that hit.
Yes, because Adam Lind is hitting 100 this year.
And there you go. And you know...
No! He doesn't get out nine times out of ten.
I'm exaggerating.
Yes, you are.
He's a 250 hitter.
This year, unfortunately, Adam Lind has gotten out about 70% of the time.
Okay. 70 or 75%?
70% of the time.
Okay. You like to include the OPS and the
walks. Because it counts.
Saying that, the superstars, the Pujols, the Fielders, the Vottos, their numbers are a little bit better, and they seem to be more clutch than, you know, the Adam Lins of the world. You know, I'm not putting it all on Lind, because like I said, we do have a lot of holes, but where I wanted to get at tonight, because I don't know if I'm going to be calling before...
You got 10 seconds.
Your World Series prediction.
No, that's not going to happen. Thank you, Guy. No, I don't make predictions anymore. Because I made one once 5 years ago and people are still reminding me of it. For some reason, when I make a prediction, people seem to believe that that means I guarantee that this is going to happen. So I don't make predictions anymore. Thank you for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Sorry to those of you to whom we couldn't get. 7 o'clock tomorrow, you'll hear from the Blue Jays MVP and Pitcher of the Year on Blue Jays pregame. Race lines next. Thanks to Matt Brown, Dylan Brown, and all the Browns. Good night.